Shalom, brethren. Today is Sunday, the 7th of August, 2022. And on the Hebrew calendar is the 10th of Av. Hallelujah. Praise Yah for the weekend. Praise Yah for the day of rest that we had yesterday, Shabbat. Hallelujah. It was called Shabbat Devarim, as we had shared on Saturday. Today is another new day on the Hebrew calendar, and it's also an important day because, as I said on Saturday, it is customary not to observe Tisha B'Av or mourning days on Shabbat, because Shabbat, Saturday, is not a day of mourning. It's a day of joy, and this is why the children of Israel, during the times of the crucifixion of Yahushua HaMashiach, they could not go to, you know, spice up the body, or should I say, what do they call it? Not spice up the body, but the dead body of Yahushua HaMashiach, they could not be able to embalm it very well the way they wanted. Because Yahushua was killed on Passover, and he had to go, or just before Passover, and they had to quickly bury him and then prepare for the Passover. And during the 2 days of Passover, they are not supposed to be mourning him. It says in the Bible that after the Passover had finished, that was when they could go to his grave to embalm his body. However, upon getting there, they found that Yahushua HaMashiach had resurrected. So he died on Passover, or just before Passover. Then 2 days passed, or 3 days passed. 2 days passed, and then on the day they were meant to go and see his body, by the time they got there, Yahushua HaMashiach had already resurrected and left the grave. So that's to tell you that the 2 days of Passover, they were high Sabbaths, and therefore it was not a time of mourning or sorting out a dead body. There were times of rejoicing there for over the deliverance that Yahushua HaMashiach, that Yahweh had given us in Egypt. At that time, that's what they were still celebrating, but they were also indirectly celebrating the sacrifice Yahushua HaMashiach had made, because Yahushua HaMashiach was a perfect Passover sacrifice that year. So the whole point of sharing this is that Shabbat is not a day of burials. It's not a day of sitting down and mourning a loved one. If you lose your loved one, you're supposed to put the mourning on hold until the end of Shabbat, and then continue with mourning after the Shabbat. So that is just how it works. It can be difficult, of course, but that's the way Yah would like us to do things. So Tisha B'Av, which is the 9th of Av every year, has fallen on Shabbat Devarim this year, as we shared the other day. And it is a day of mourning over the loss of the first Holy Temple and the second Holy Temple, and also breaching the walls of Jerusalem on both occasions. The first time the walls of Jerusalem were successfully breached, it was by the Babylonians. So Nebuchadnezzar was their leader at the time, and Yahweh permitted the walls of Jerusalem to be breached and the Israelites to be taken into captivity because of the sins, many sins that they had committed over the years. The main focus was the kingdom of Judah, which was the southern kingdom, and that was to teach them a lesson to stop observing idolatry. you know, they had forsaken their maker and their deliverer from Egypt, from the bondage in Egypt or Mizraim, and they were practicing idolatry. Now, I had read out the Torah portions for yesterday, Saturday, the 6th of August 2022, as being Deuteronomy chapter 1 to 3. So that's Devarim. Devarim means words. Deuteronomy chapter 1 to 3. And then Isaiah chapter 1 from 1 to 27. And then Matthew 24, 1 to 22. What I did not say about Isaiah chapter 1 was that aside from rebuking sin, it was prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem, the future destruction of Jerusalem at that time, based on the fact that they had forsaken their maker and they had turned to idolatry. But within that same chapter, Yahweh also shares a solution with them, which is, come, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like wool, though your sins are red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow, something like that. And then he continues to say that if they are obedient, they will eat of the fruit of the land, but if they are not obedient, they will not enjoy that which he has in store for them. So Isaiah was a very powerful prophet. He was one of the three great prophets of that time. He was preceded by Hoshua. Hoshua is known as Hosea or Hoshea, but his original name, as we discovered through the study of some time back, we were studying about the red scarlet, the scarlet thread that Rahab had tied to the window to signify to Joshua and Caleb. The two spies that had gone, I've forgotten their names. I think one was Phinehas. I've forgotten the other. Those two spies that went to check out the land of Jericho. Through the study of that, we discovered that the actual name of Hosea, the original name is Hoshua, and how we discovered that is we read the text in Numbers or Bamidbar chapter 13, where it says that Yahweh had instructed Moshe or Moses to change the name of Joshua. His original name was Hoshua, not Hosea or Hoshea, by adding the Yud, the letter Yud or Yod. Now, when you add the letter Yud to his name, it comes up as Yahushua. Because I was saying to myself that how come his name, you know, it says in the Bible text we have that his name originally was Hosea or Hoshea, but when you add the letter Yud or Yod, it's actually Yahushua. How does Hoshea turn to Yahushua? So it only makes sense to say that his original name is Hoshua, because all they added was a Yod or Yud to make it Yahushua, like the name of the Messiah. The whole point of adding the letter Yud or the Yod was to... I've been interrupted, so I don't remember where I stopped. But I was trying to say that when you add the name Yahushua, when you add the letter Yod or Yud to Hoshua, you get Yahushua, which forms the name of the Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. Now, the whole point of Yahweh adding the letter Yod or Yud was to give Joshua, Yahushua, the son of Nun, the name of the Messiah, so as to point to Yahushua HaMashiach, who would be coming on earth many years later to die for the sins of the, you know, the people of this world, so that we can be rescued. We're to die for the sins of Israel, and then later the Gentiles were included, so as to, you know, stop people from perishing in hellfire for eternity. The ministry of Yahushua, the son of Nun, who was known as Hushua originally, is very much significant, because it points to the ministry of Yahushua, Yahushua HaMashiach. Yahushua HaMashiach's role is to deliver, is to lead us to the promised land, to get us to cross the river Jordan and get us into the promised land. And, you know, when Yahushua HaMashiach died on the cross, he opened the doors for us to be able to make heaven after death. Basically, you remember, he says in his word that he is the door to the kingdom of heaven. He also says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So through Yahushua, the son of Nun, the children of Israel entered the promised land and conquered the promised land and inherited it officially, as Yah had decreed. And through Yahushua HaMashiach, we will overcome this world and we will be able to access heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's just a by the way to make you understand that the name of the prophet, the one of the great prophets in the Bible, is Hushua. 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 It's not Hosea or Hoshea, though we just have to carry on saying Hosea or Hoshea for general understanding, because that's what the general public knows, and that's what the biggest number of the body of Yahushua HaMashiach knows. But his original name is Hushua. So Hushua was the first great prophet, and then Amos came, and then Isaiah or Yeshayahu came afterwards, 2 years after Amos stopped prophesying. I think he was killed. Yeshayahu came up. So you remember in the New Testament, Yahushua HaMashiach says to the children of Israel at some point that, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the killer of prophets." That statement really hit me hard when I read about how Hosea, Hushua, Amos, Yeshayahu, and other prophets died. That is what Yahushua HaMashiach was actually implying, was referring to. They were killed by the very people that they were sent to rescue, which was so painful, and the manner in which they were killed was despicable. I've forgotten how they were killed in detail. I know that Yeshayahu was killed by cutting his mouth with a saw that is used to cut a tree. That is how he died. In his case, it was punishment for calling the children of Israel unclean. You know, when he says in Isaiah chapter 6, after he has seen the Lord, "Woe is me, with a man of unclean lips among unclean people." Yahweh was so angry with him for calling the children of Israel unclean, because that word, it covers a lot. The people who are meant to be unclean are the Gentiles, and more particularly the pagans, because they eat all kinds of rubbish food that Yahweh has not ordained to be eaten, and they like pork, you know, ham, bacon, and other things, shell, you know, seafoods that have no scales and no fins, like shellfish and, you know, all kinds of other stuff like that. And then they also don't circumcise generally. So the word unclean means a lot of things, and that's why Yahweh was so angry with the Isaiah or Yeshayahu for calling the children of Israel unclean, though he meant sin, that the children of Israel were sinful. That is what he meant, you know, because Yahweh's holiness was displayed before him. But, you know, the using the word unclean was unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. I got interrupted again, but anyway, I'm trying to speak too quick so that I can go and join my children. Anyway, he said he's a man of unclean lips among unclean people, and using the word unclean was unacceptable because Yahweh always used that term to talk about people who enjoy their sinful ways and are not ready to be cleansed by him. They are not ready to obey his commandments and walk in obedience, live holy before him. Living unclean is the opposite of holiness, by the way. It's the opposite of being holy. So it really angered for Yeshayahu to use such a word, because he had taken time to cleanse his people, and he emphasized in the book of Leviticus that his people are holy, they are not unclean. He had endeavored to remove every form of uncleanness from them by delivering them from Egypt or Mizraim, and then teaching them how to be holy before him. That is what the book of Leviticus is all about. And that's why you see various topics touched on to do with sexuality, to do with giving birth, to do with eating, to do with burial ceremonies and the loss of loved ones, to do with how the priests are meant to present themselves before him in the tabernacle, you know, to do with the drinking of alcohol, to do with dress code as well, dress code, to do with the piercing of the body. He talks about piercing as a form of enslavement, to do with, because, you know, this is something I wish to actually share about in future. You know, the tattooing issue and the issue of your nails, how your hygiene in terms of nails, how long you keep your nails, and how whether they are painted or not, the issue of piercing ears. The daughter that Yahweh has blessed us with in my family, in our family, Yahweh has ministered a very important message to us based on those things, which I hope to do a separate audio about, but I can briefly touch on just now. The more I've been, you know, holding my daughter in my hands and looking at her and appreciating God for her, the more Yahweh has, you know, highlighted the issues that he's been highlighting to us in recent years. The issue of not wearing makeup, the issue of not piercing our ears and putting on earrings, the issue of not wearing rings, the issue of not wearing necklaces, the issue of not painting our nails and growing our nails to be longer or to be long. When Yahweh is sending us into this world, go and examine babies very well, newborn babies. You will never see them with pierced ears. You will never see them with long nails. You will never see them with painted nails. You will never see them with a painted face or makeup. And you don't see them with hair that has been treated or permed. It may appear permed because the baby has been inside water, a sack of water, for 9 months. But as time goes on, when they are out of the womb, the hair begins to go to the natural state that Yah determined it to be. And when it's in that natural state, he doesn't expect us to perm it or plait it. So another thing I was meant to say is, when we are born, we are not born with plaited hair. We are not born with braided hair. We are not born with wigs or weave-ons. This is something that Yahweh has been highlighting to me greatly, in terms of children, in terms of the way we live our lives, what he expects of us when he says, "Be holy as I am holy." He wants us to live a natural life and rely on him for everything, for every little detail of our lives. One thing he has made us understand is he can transform lives by himself. He managed to make Miriam, Prophet Miriam, or I've already shared that the word prophetess is not a word that Yahweh wishes to use when it comes to the translation of the word Hanavi. The word prophet in Hebrew is Navi. For a male prophet, for a female prophet, it is it's Navi something. So he doesn't want, what he doesn't want is for us to have a feminine word for the word prophet in English. Whether it's a female or a male, he wants us to call them prophets. I think it's Naviyah in the Hebrew, the Naviyah for prophetess. But he doesn't want us to use the word prophetess in the English. He prefers to use prophet. And one way he has highlighted this is with Prophet Elisheva Eliyahu, Elizabeth Elijah, who is the Malachi chapter 4, 5 to 6 prophet of these end times. The title Yahweh has called, given to her, is prophet, not prophetess. So, henceforth we'll be calling Deborah or Devorah prophet, Miriam prophet, and any other female prophet the Yahweh has raised up in the Hebrew scriptures. So, Prophet Miriam, she became unwell for quite some time. I guess the time she got the leprosy and she was separated, or another time that we don't know about. Yahweh says, after a long time of sickness, Yahweh restored her beauty and made her look young again, so that her husband could enjoy her, because he had been deprived of sexual intimacy for a very long time. And so, for him to be able to enjoy her again, Yahweh restored her beauty. Her husband, I think, was called Caleb. Caleb. So he restored her beauty. Also, a certain lady, Sarah. Sarah and Abraham, after they had Isaac or Yitzhak, Yahweh restored their beauty and they became very young. He removed every gray hair. He removed every sign of old in their lives and made them look very young. And that was one of the miracles tied to the fact, you know, just as proof, it was the evidence that Isaac or Yitzhak was the longer-awaited son to be born. There's someone else whom Yahweh made to look younger. I think it was the mother of Moses. Her name is Yocheved, the glory of Yahweh. She too was made to look young again sometime after the separation or the divorce between her and Amram while they were in Egypt. When, you know, babies were being killed. And this was before the birth of Aharon and the birth of Moshe. No, sorry, before the birth of Moshe. So Moshe was the child that was born to them after they came back together as a married couple. Now, this audio is coming to an end in terms of the minutes, the limit minutes I can share on WhatsApp. So I need to bring it to an end. I'm meant to be talking about Tisha B'Av, the day we mourn the loss of the temples. But I've got diverted a bit because I just wanted to highlight certain issues that are important. So I will continue in the next audio. Remain blessed. Shalom.